All right, kids, what's going on? The show before the show. I did a show yesterday and the crackling came back. So I think I fixed it. If I didn't, then it's intentional. Beyond my control. And I might have to change computers to make it go away. And that might not even do it. But anyway, so let's get this very important podcast episode. Let's get it rolling here. So here we go. Uh-oh. It looks like I broke it. What? Come on. Oh man, just one show. I would just like no difficulties. Let me see. Unfucking believable. Sound. Input, output. Should be working. That's really fucking weird. Should be working. Huh. I really didn't want to click on that one. I want to click on that one. Unbelievable. Hello, what's going on? People jumping in already. Are you ready for this? I've had my head in. Can you guys hear me, first of all? Then I really don't care about playing intros and crap. Just for the hell of it, let me see here. Let me see if this plays. No? Oh, God, this technical shit is getting really old. That should be playing. Wow. Boom, 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 boom. Hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I don't know. I guess I'll grab my phone and see. And I'll, it's getting irritating. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I would a little bit make sure it clears because it might just start coming back and then yeah, and you don't want that. So you know, give it another 15 minutes and let it melt because those heaters are pretty powerful, and then hook that X terminal back up and set the right time of day on the clock, and then make sure both fans are running and get the hell out of there. All right. Okay.
All right, so then, the phone rings. Perfect timing, I guess. Let me open Spreaker. I'm going to monitor the show because a crackling comes in, and it's just inaudible or very irritating. And I wasted an hour and a half yesterday because I deleted it because it was horrible. I couldn't even listen to it, and that's bad. Let me see here, Spreaker. Live. Okay, let's see.
I couldn't even listen to it, and that's bad. Let me see here, Spreaker.
Yep. Okay. That is so weird, though. Because all these settings are where they're supposed to be. and I can't even get this shit to play. I'm going to give it one more shot and then just continue. Settings. I really don't want to mess with them though, because then it might not might knock my mic out. Damn. No, not setting sound.
S-O-U-N-D
sound. Yeah, that's what I have it on. The hell. Boom, 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 boom. But it's kind of, it's weird. Do that. I don't want to do that. Input.
Need input.
That's working. Must be the output. I don't fucking know. Huh. Yeah, that's where the problem is, because... Well, whatever. Yeah, it's not.
This is called the I. Now, this has been on the news a couple of times, but they keep taking it down.
It's time for Seen and Unseen, where we explore.
How did that happen? Of YouTube, not really. Wait, what's that? Whoa. I need to play something off of InfoWars. He doesn't care. I just don't want no copyright bullshit.
Like, no, that's true.
But where am I coming from now?
I can't. I just play anything.
All right.
Close band up. Video.
Close. Let's close.
And see if he
holy
works.
Crap. And what I'm going to... Hopefully it works. And then I'm going to show you... Where is that coming? Okay. No. Where is that coming from? Something. Oh, I know where it's coming from. Because I clicked on this episode.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's it. Right? Maybe not. Let's see this. No, not test. Oh, my God. How did my... I know why. Because my keyboard was dying. It looks like I broke it. What? Come on. Okay, where's that coming from? Oh, man. Just one show. I would just like no difficulties.
That's off Spreaker Live. That is fucking weird.
It's fucking believable. No, I don't want piano. Sound. Huh. Input. Output.
Jesus Christ. Sorry, Lord.
And it is Sunday. Wow.
That's really fucking weird.
So much for having a serious podcast. Wait, let's try this.
It should be working.
Aha! I caught you! Wow. All right, let's try this one. Wow!
Original Red Pill Show.
Yeah, we're so professional.
Welcome to a brand new episode.
Holy shit. I should probably play. Since the show's entirely fucked up, now I just might as well continue till I get into this. I'm going to talk about the Silicon Valley bank failure and do it in a manner of kind of going back in a way back machine, and it's 2008, and I am still running my business. But with the perspective of what I would do different to put it into real time now. So essentially, if I was still running my business, this is what I would do based on what I went through in 2008, if that makes any sense. Believe me, the last thing I want is businesses to fail. And I have that experience. And what I would do now to navigate through it if I still was in business. But man, I mean, just think about this. So you had the 08 meltdown. Then you had COVID. And now you got this. I mean, how much more can a business owner take? I mean, it's unprecedented, man. I don't care. You know, if you're going to cause us problems, just get it over with, man. This death by a thousand cuts is bullshit. And I'm serious. You're fucking with people's lives, man. Their livelihood. And when they make mistakes, it's your problem. And they did. They made mistakes, and that's what caused this bank to fail in a bank run. But now it's your fault. And I just love how that happens. It's ridiculous. Okay. I don't want to start ranting. I just want to share what I would do right now. Just because pointing fingers and this and that, it's never gonna change. It's always gonna be your fault, no matter what they do. And that, I don't know if that's ever gonna change. But let's get a song play. I should just start this whole fucking show over again. Okay, so there's Margarita.
I spend about 24 hours a month dealing with insurance-related issues. Thanks.
Well, you probably won't next week. You're going to lose your fucking job. All right, hang on a second. Sorry to say. All right, this is the official start of the show. Let's go. Hopefully. There it is. Okay, let's go.
The original Red Pill Show.
Welcome to a brand new episode.
right, kids, welcome to another exciting episode of the original Red Pill Show. That's my friends, the band Edge of Paradise, False Idols. Great, great band. I'd love to see them taken off to the moon. Been a fan for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Hell, I don't know. Quite a while. And had Marguerite and Dave on a couple times, 3, 4 times. Like to get them back on. Anyway, welcome to another exciting episode of the original Red Pill Show. Today's Sunday, March 12th, 2013. No, let's say, we should just say 2009, actually. But 2023. This show is for entertainment, educational purposes only. Please use it at your own risk. Show is copyrighted by me and Freedom Revolution Network. No part of it can be reused, rebroadcast, and in any way, shape, or form. Without our written consent, you can just ask. Finally, the show's opinionated. The hosts, especially me, callers, guests, people that want to join the show, and are naughty in the chat room are and always will be opinionated under no circumstances whatsoever. Still, oh, no static. All right, good. Hopefully, I got that shit straightened out. This show is opinionated. The host, especially, it's me, callers, guests, whatever, that are on this show, people that are naughty in the chat room are and always will be opinionated under no circumstances whatsoever. I'm so sure you should not, opinions should not be taken as advice. If you are seeking professional advice, we strongly encourage you to hire a licensed if required person in his or her field there, little Tommy. Hey, man. No, it's his name, broadcasting live from Colorado, whatever, in my luxurious studio, right? All right, so what is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. So since the end of Friday, as people know, I have been watching the financial sector since 2008. Okay. I'm taking my vitamins. 15 years later, here we sit. Again, on the precipice that maybe a repeat of 2008. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But what I'm going to say is this. I have been down this road before, experiencing it reactively in 2008 when it happened, because I didn't know what was going on. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Owning a business, having, I think, a total of 10 employees, trying to navigate through almost a total global shutdown, meltdown of the financial system. Okay. Been there, done that. Didn't know what was going on. Listened to the smartest people on the planet, who quite actually caused the problem, in my opinion. And then came up with answers and conveniently gave themselves substantial amount of money to quote unquote fix it. In my opinion, you know, when you get a flat tire in your car and use that spare tire, that's not really a spare tire, It's just a fucking donut and you put it on your car and it's supposed to get you to a repair shop. That's what they did in 2008. We've been riding on that donut for 15 years. That's the best way I can explain it to you. I cannot express the concern that I have for this situation. I have been watching countless YouTube videos from experts, mostly from people that have been warning of this since 2008 because nothing was fixed. And now with the interest rates going up, which definitely, in my opinion, sparked this whole thing off with Silicon Valley Bank. Now, you can do your homework with that. I've been doing it all weekend. I don't, because that's just going to be argumentative. Oh, well, no, this is the reason, and that's the reason. It's like, no, it's just essentially they were told to buy a bunch of treasury notes, bonds, bills at pretty much 0%. And now with rates at 5-6%, it's cost a lot of money. It costs more money for businesses to capitalize themselves because they could just take out loans to do that or a line of credit. But now it's getting too expensive to do that. So people want to take their money out of the bank for capital and it's not there because the bank took it and bought a bunch of investments with it, which it's tied up long-term. So they had to sell their treasury notes, bonds, bills, whatever they bought at a loss. And that did not make their balance sheet look very well. And then the word got out. And they were told by professionals to get, business owners were told to get their money out of SRB, SB, Silicon Bank. Silicon Bank. So I keep saying Silicon, Silicon Valley Bank. Now. Now. Like fucking now. Not tomorrow, not an hour. Get your bank, get your money out of your business account now. And some were lucky enough to do it. A lot were not. The problem is, oh, it's FDIC insured. Yeah, only up to $250,000. And Roku had their money in there, millions of dollars in their checking account for their business. Is this still working? Let's see. Not Spotify. No crackling yet. Okay, cool. I love it. Because I don't want to start getting into this and then monitor myself and it sounds like shit. Because I will be very upset at me. Well, at this, at whatever's going on. I will tell you, there are four big, huge companies, Etsy, E-T-S-Y, I don't even know what that is, what else, there's another big one, Shopify. Those people have their checking account, allegedly, from what I'm being told, there as well. And it's way past $250,000. So what that means, if this problem is not rectified, and you're also a business owner that has your money in that bank, the most you're going to get back is $250,000, which is like pissing in the ocean when you're that big of a company. If you have tens of millions of dollars or millions of dollars in a checking account, you're a pretty big company. I don't know what your sales are. I don't know what this, I don't know what that, but you're not going to be able to access those funds. This is what happened to me to a point relative in 2008. Except, I mean, I guess there were financial institutions that were shut down and put into receivership. I think Lehman Brothers and some other ones. This is 15 years ago. And also, you have to give me a break that I don't have the exact full details. It's not about that. It's about the result and the consequences that happen. So I'm going to share that what happened to me, because all I did was I was doing what I was told. You have to remember that I just trusted the whole entire system, as I had my entire life. And then things weren't making sense, and I have to go by past behavior and how 08 was handled and how this is going to be handled. Which is us people that are living their lives, doing what we're told to do, trusting the system, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a saying that was said yesterday, the banking system survives on trust and confidence. And I would like to change that and go, no, it survives on ignorance and apathy. That's the truth of this situation. Now, let's go back to 2008, approximately August. I'm running my company. It's the best year we're having in the history of the company. The year closed out at like $1.8 million in sales. Okay. Healthy balance sheet, AR was high, AP. This is for business owners. I don't mean to not include people that won't know what I'm understanding. And it's not really like MBA, CFO, financial terms. But if you're not a business owner, haven't been one, you're not going to understand it. However, if you know somebody that's running their own business, they should listen to this, okay? Especially if they did not experience the 2008 meltdown. So it's approximately August, whatever, 2008. I was monitoring the situation. The stock market was very volatile. And 15 years ago, there were 900 to 1,000 point swings. Up, down, up, down, up, down, and then finally down. And it kept going down. And I was paying attention to that. So finally, the smartest people on the planet stepped in and did this and did that and everything else and whatever. Not really. What they did or didn't do isn't the point. It's what they did, they're going to do again because they don't have a choice, except they're not going to bail out. They may in this case. There might be one exception because quite honestly, they might not have a choice, but they said they weren't going to. The government said they're not going to bail out banks again. It's going to be a bail in, not a bail out. And a bail in is pretty much they're going to take, but this one's in receivership, so I don't know. I don't think anything can be done, but in the future, if some banks start to see some rocky roads, they by law, they can go into your account and take your money. Do your homework on that one. So that'll probably be the only different thing. But the end result is always this. You're going to lose your money and quite possibly your business. And it's just dumbfounding to me that we're just sitting here trying to live our life, running a business, busting your ass, all these people that are dependent on you in payroll, and a bank makes some very poor decisions regardless of the situations. Decisions are decisions, and we have to be punished for that. Makes no sense. So anyway, whatever. 2008, August, I'm watching this on Fox News. Because after 9/11, I always had Fox News on because that's what I watched. And I always had it on in the background because we had a DirecTV satellite. So I always had it in the background. And of course, then I was watching what was starting to happen. So the bailout happened, TARP happened, this happened, that happened, whatever happened. But before it got to that point, we were told, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Just blah, 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 blah. And, you know, what else are you going to do? And I'm starting to hear the same shit now. Oh, it's not going to be a big tomorrow. We'll tell the tale of the tape for sure. But oh, don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. Don't panic. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I didn't, because really, what can you do? I didn't know what the hell was going on. It's like, what? What? How can the financial system collapse? You know, I didn't think that was possible. And actually, if we were on a gold standard still, it wouldn't have happened. But I'm not getting into that. So I'm watching this, running this company, have people that are on payroll, have to pay them so they can feed their family, pay my vendors, pay my insurance, pay my taxes, pay everything else. And everything is just stopped. Like one of those time machine movies, or a movie about time, and then time's frozen, but the time travelers aren't for some reason. That it's like everything is frozen, stopped. I'm like, well, okay, so now what? Well, here's what started happening to my business. Okay, so again, this is 2008. We're in that right now. I got to talk from that perspective. Again, disclaimer, I am not giving advice to what you should do or should not do. I'm going to tell you what I did based on the situation, which some of you have not experienced 2008. Definitely part of my demise for sure. And now we're in 2023, 15 years later, and it's eerily similar in my opinion. Okay. That's why I'm doing this show. And I'm going to say what I would do differently. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You know, it's pretty much choosing your death, you know? Just you want to get it over with and get shot in the head? Okay, yeah, sure. Or do you want to die by 5,000 paper cuts? Most business owners will do every single thing possible to make sure they exist as long as they can. Otherwise, you're just a horrible business owner and leader. I'm going to tell you that right now. So back in 2008, all this shit happened, okay? So, approximately a week or two after that, I start getting letters addressed to me, President Quality Tempe Interim, from my bank that I have my checking account and do business with and everything else, and have my line of credit. So I open up this letter and it says, oh, dude, Mr. Parsons, due to the financial fucking whatever, your line of credit has now been turned into an installment loan at this interest rate, and your line of credit is being canceled, turned into an installment loan. And you cannot remove your money from our bank. Okay. So here we go. Like, wait a minute. What? So you're taking away my line of credit, and a line of credit for a bank or for a business is just that. It's like a credit card, but it's like another checking account with a line of credit, unsecured. And if you're getting a cash flow crunch, which happens a lot for many reasons, you can defer to the line of credit and transfer it into your checking account if you're having cash flow issues temporarily, because customers aren't going to wait. The government's not going to wait. Insurance payment's not going to wait. Yada, yada, yada. Everybody that you got to pay every month, they're not going to wait. So you need to pay those bills. And if you're running out of money, then it's normal for a business to have a line of credit for those cash flow crunch times. Okay. That's gone. No more line of credit. And you wonder why everything went to hell. Wait a minute. I need help. We need support. I need my line of credit to get through this, and you're taking it away from me. Here we go. It's your fault. You shall be punished for greedy mortgage housing people, and the government just let it happen. So whatever. I don't want to get back into that. Thing is, I didn't cause a problem, but you're making me fix it, or I'm suffering for it. So that happened. I'm like, huh, okay. And then my credit card limits got lowered on my corporate accounts. Vendors were really concerned and were getting very aggressive in their accounts receivables, because I owed them money, which would be my accounts payable. And it hurt businesses because everybody tightened up. So long story short, my sales the following year and then thereabouts until 2017, when my business totally failed, my sales progressively went down. So 1.8 was the top of the game, and then it started going down to like 1.5 and 1.3 and 1.1 and whatever. And then eventually to zero. Zero. But I have no doubt that the beginning of that decline was the 2008 meltdown. And again, I listened to everybody and what we're going to do, and we're the experts, and don't worry about it. We're the smartest people on the planet. You know, let us handle it. I mean, what choice do you have? Now I'm seeing it again because of some very poor decisions and investments at this bank, investment decisions. The people that have their money in that bank can't get it. What did they do? So if I was still president of Quality Temp Heating and Air, and I was going through this again, here's what I would consider doing. Now, this isn't like a plan, foolproof plan. Okay. Again, this is like a stay of execution. I'm sorry. It's the best way to put it. It's like, there's things that I can do to have my company survive another day. That's it. That's all you got. I mean, and business owners and people will shake their head. Yes. Yeah. You're in business for a day, and it's your job to make sure you're in business for that day. And the next day comes, and that day, and so on and so forth. Anything else is foolhardy. I'm not saying you don't have a business plan, projections, and whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying your job is to keep those doors open from the time it opens to the time it closes. And if you're lucky enough, or by the grace of God, to have another day in your own company, in your own business, and the doors are open, God bless you. But that's your job, all right? In my opinion, that's my job. That was my job. It would be my job now, but we'll get into that. So if I was still president of my company, and now I see what's going on, because I've been down this road before. And although if my business checking account, which would never exceed $250,000, but it that doesn't matter. The unintended consequences and the damage that this is going to do to people's lives is going to have a domino effect to everybody else. Because back when 08 happened, well, what do I care about that? You know, I'm not going to be affected. It's like, oh, really? Yeah, wait. Until your house goes from 300 grand down to 99,000 like mine did. You are going to be affected whether you're have a business or not. I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to escape it. So it's up to us business. Okay. Cause now I'm saying that I'm a business owner. So please, you know, play the game with me. It's up to us business owners and leaders to make sure that we focus on our business. Cause it's all that matters. Okay. I am not going to pay attention to any of these people talking on Fox Business News, CNBC, Bloomberg. No, I'm not going to pay attention because they're already saying, well, Silicon Valley Bank failed because they bought treasury notes and treasury bills or whatever. And one network said it under the pressure of suggestion from the government, and they did. But nobody has said, except maybe Kudlow on Fox Business News, the reason why they lost their ass in those treasury notes, bills, and bonds is because the Federal Reserve keeps raising rates aggressively to curb inflation, which the government caused to begin with. So, you see? So it's like, there's no escape from this. Because money is getting too expensive to borrow for venture capitalists or running your business. So it's like, well, we got all this money in the bank, wink, wink. So let's just start drawing off of our capital for operating costs instead of borrowing it. Well, they went to go get their money and it's not in there because Silicon Bank has got it tied up in fucking treasury notes. So they got to sell them to recapitalize the checking accounts because of fractional reserve lending. Okay. So that's how this happened, but not one, except I said Kudlow, like, wow, you know, that put them in a bad position because they bought treasury notes, bonds, or bills at, you know, 0%, whatever it was, and now they're 5%. So they're losing their ass, and then they got to sell them prematurely because I don't know what the return would be on if you kept them to maturity, because I've never bought a treasury anything, and I never will. But they had to sell them before maturity, so they lost their ass on a lot of money. So that's how this started happening, going downhill. But I only found one network that said that. All they said is the bank made some poor investment decisions, and that's what they did. But they won't tell you why and what the factors are that caused that to be. I mean, you don't know what type of investment you're in until time goes by. That's anything. Stock market, this, that, Bitcoin, gold, silver. You don't know if it's a good or bad investment. How could you? There's too many variable factors. So anyway, just a little backstory on what this is not me. This is what I'm doing in my homework and research, but I'm not, I would be done watching this shit right now. Cause like, okay, here we go. 2008 2.0. Part two, whatever you want to say. So here's what I would do. Without a lot of thinking or brainstorming, because there ain't a lot of time. And this just happened on Friday. So if I was still the president of my bank, this is what I would do. First of all, I would seriously consider selling it, just to be perfectly honest with you. Now, again, this is my perspective based on my experience through 2008. If I went back in a time machine and before all this shit started and somebody approached me to buy my business, I probably would have sold it because I know now what would have happened and just get out. But believe it or not, most business owners don't do this for the money. I mean, that's the analogy of selling your kid. Your business is your kid. It's like, well, you know, you could sell that kid because it's going to cause you all kinds of problems and go to jail and everything else. So why don't you just get rid of them? It's like, what? But that's synonymous to a company. And it's like, well, you know, you got the chance to get rid of this fucker before the shit hits the fan and all the pain that you're going to go through because you're going to end up failing anyway. Why don't you take the money and run? And some would do that. But most would not. I wouldn't. I didn't. Because that's not why I was in business. However, sitting here 15 years later and what it did to me, which was total destruction, I would have to be honest and go, you know what? I just might sell this fucker. And it could have saved my marriage and I would have done something else. So you got to understand where I'm coming from. So tomorrow is the first day of business for the week. Doors are open. I got to save and protect this company. Okay. The problem is, usually people that have decision-making power make those decisions reactively. Okay. But if you make a if you make the wrong reactive or even just a reactive decision to this, it's not going to be the right one because it's too late. Not only is it too late if it's wrong, it's too late and it's wrong. These are decisions that demand ultimate supreme leadership. You are flying in a aircraft at 35,000 feet in a storm and you can't see shit and you don't have any instruments. This is you. And this is the job that you decided to take by starting your own company. You have to navigate through that. Or if you're a sailor or whatever, you're at sea, you got all kinds of big ass waves and the worst you can possibly imagine. And it's your job to navigate through this thing, because even if your instruments didn't work, you just better hang on to your ass and pray and experience and going through this stuff to get on the other side. That is where you're at right now. There is no there is no reactive situations here. And if there are a reactive planning, you got to get through this storm or you're going to die. Simple as that. Not to mention your crew, people on the plane are going to die too, i.e. your employees and their families. I mean, that's kind of extreme, but it's the point. Okay. It's not just you. Okay. This is your family. Okay. Yeah, it's business, this and that, whatever. This is your family. Okay. It's your job to protect them and make sure everything turns out. And your business. Your business is your little baby that only does what you tell it to do. So now you got that too. So it's Monday morning, tomorrow morning. I go into the office. I may have CNBC in the background, this and everything else, because I'm expecting to see bank runs. Now, again, this is my perspective on past experience, having my head into the financial system and watching it and everything else from the banking system to accounting, personal, business, corporate. I had my head in QuickBooks Enterprise for 20 years. I know that program in my sleep. Then the monetary system, money, currency, gold, silver, Bitcoin, this, that, tulips, fucking whatever, okay? 15 years I've had my head in this. Watching, learning, educating, listening to mostly contrarian people. Not the people you're going to see on all the major networks, just like the news. And I want to get into that. So I go into the office at 7, 8 o'clock. I don't know. I'm an early starter. I go in and I pull my financials. Okay. If you don't have a software program that you could just not at a click of a mouse find out exactly where you're at, you better get a new program. But it's too late now. So, well, I'm going to have to call my accountant for that. It's going to be too late, man. This has to be done now for me. This is me again. This is a scenario. This is make-believe in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, sure. Because we're all going to be fucked if we don't do something, sure. In our neighborhood. So you got to do something. So I'll go in. I'm going to pull accounts receivable, accounts payable. See what my checking account balance is, profit and loss, sales, the whole nine yards. I'm just going to pull a P&L. I'm going to pull a balance sheet and see where the fuck we're at. All right. So just numbers, and these are relatively real based on my company's financial situation. Let's say AR is at 180 grand. Okay. Pretty good. All right. For sales 1.8, you know, that was the highest. Well, let's just, for number's sake, say 150 so I can remember them, and that's an easy number. 150 grand AR. AP is probably 75. You should be 2-1 AR over AP. So that's healthy. It's like, good. Okay. So I got 150 grand on the street and I owe people 75 grand. That's good. That's a good situation to be in. Okay. But there may be a very small, no matter how small, chance that if this shit trickles down, which they all said, oh, don't worry about it. No, wait, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. That there could be a run on the banks tomorrow. Okay, so now we're in tomorrow, and I'm pulling these reports. And I have CNBC on in the background, or Fox Business News. And they're covering, if they even cover it, people running to the bank. They're already doing it in California. Running to the bank to get their money out. They weren't specific to business owners or people, but how would you know unless you interviewed them? So that's going to be another problem too, because business owners, because this was a business bank, but people are just going to hear us peasants like, oh, people couldn't get their money out of the bank. And then they're like, well, I'm going to make sure I can. So I just think they're going to do the normal reactive thing and go get their money out of their bank. This is short time, because if this happens tomorrow, the banks will all be shut down by the end of the day. Nobody's going to get nothing. Okay. So that's what I got to deal with. All right. So the first thing I would do, it's like, okay, if I can't access my funds in my existing bank, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to call another bank and I'm going to go, okay. And I'm not even going to explain why I'm doing it, because it's none of their fucking business. But I'm just going to say, okay, you know, my name is Tim Parsons. I'm the president of Quality Time Engineer, whatever. Been in business for 35 years, whatever. I would like to know if you have a program that can purchase my accounts receivables. Now, this is something I did because our growth rate when we first started was over 100% a year, and we were in negative cash flow, because this is something I've done. I'm not pulling this out of my ass. And I think the bank took something like 20%. So, you know, for every $1,000 invoice, they would take $200, which is like, holy shit. But I don't know what it would be now, but still, okay, let's just say it's 10%. Okay, I'll sacrifice 10% so I can keep 90. Whereas if the banks get locked down, you ain't going to be able to get jack shit temporarily. But not only that, you have to keep your company going. So immediately, that's what I would do. I would call a bank and find out who will purchase my receivables, which were good as gold because they were net 30. I really feel bad for businesses that are just in cash, because when you do your transaction and it's credit card, whatever, cash, for the essence of the term, instant buy, sell, I bought it, you pay me, I put the money in the bank. Okay. Those are the businesses that are going to get hurt the most, because you don't have money sitting out on the street, hence accounts receivable open that 30, because business to business. You won't have that opportunity. All your money is going to be in the bank. And I really feel for you. But I'm going to add to this what I would do too, in addition to what I'm saying, which could or could not be an idea for you. I don't, you know, that's your business. I'm just saying again what I would do. I would find a bank, some type of a financial institution that will buy my receivables so I can have money. And then you would say, well, what would you, okay, so you get all this cash, then what are you going to do? Because you got to shove it in the bank, and probably preferably at the new bank that you're doing this with. And I go, yeah, I get that. So it really doesn't, solve the problem per se, except depositing your money in a different bank. Which it's going to be the strong survive. So unfortunately, you would have to be a bigger bank, which I really can't stand even saying that. But again, it's your job to make sure your business survives. So that's what I would do. So I don't have to open up another account. And then when they buy my receivables, they would buy them from me and take their percentage and then instantly transfer those funds into my new account at my new bank. Okay. But if you have a run on a bank and this and that, chances are they're going to get shut down too. So it doesn't do anything. Correct. But now this is where it comes into retention. Okay. So on top of that, and let's just say that, okay, it was temporary. The government bailed them out. Elon Musk is already talking about buying the bank. So they do that because I guess they do have a lot of assets and the business, the bank can be saved. It's just a matter of who's going to do it. And I honestly think that's probably what's going to happen until it gets so bad with people trying to get the money out of the bank. They better make a decision by the end of tomorrow. Okay. So I'm going to count on the confidence of these people to do the right thing. But unfortunately, they always do the wrong thing and the wrong thing and the wrong thing. And then they finally do the right thing. But hopefully they learn that lesson from 2008, but I doubt it. I don't have the confidence in that, but I'm just going to have the confidence they're eventually going to do the right thing, but they don't have time on their side. So this will be in the hope and confidence in the system that, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but your job is retention, okay? So this is what I would do. Then I would open up a corporate account on one of the, I'm just going to say, stick with what I would do. Bitcoin exchanges that you can transfer your Bitcoin to your hard storage wallet. So I would, and this isn't an easy process because it's got to be know your user and all this crap, but I would open up a company account. And then as soon as that happened, I would immediately start purchasing Bitcoin from my accounts receivable sales at the new bank that I started. Okay. And this has to happen at light speed, man. I mean, this is it. This is all I care about is saving my business and now retention. I got to get capital. And here's the thing. Well, there's some guy that said, oh, you'll just get a bridge loan and you'll get through this and everything else. Sorry to tell you that when I went through this in 2008, the banks got tighter than, I don't even want to say because it sounded inappropriate, but they tightened up. And it was almost impossible to get any type of loan from anybody. And this is a kid talking, no offense. So I don't even know if he was around, let alone experienced the 2008 meltdown. It's not going to be that easy. And in fact, I think it's going to be impossible because the banks will tighten up again. So that's not even going to be an option. So sell my receivables to somebody that'll buy them. They'll take their 10, 15%, whatever they take, put that into the new account at the same bank, the bottom. Now I got my quote unquote checking account, second one at this bank that's only for purchasing receivables, which is now my money and my capital. Okay. But if things continue to get worse, or first they get better and then they get worse, I'm not going to be able to get that money because they're going to lock everything down. They're going to close them down. A bank holiday, I think that's what they call it. But if I got a little bit of time on my side, which we should have, then I would open up a corporate account to purchase Bitcoin on a cryptocurrency exchange that has the ability to transfer my Bitcoin to a hard storage wallet. And I would immediately buy Bitcoin and set up that account. And the account to purchase Bitcoin would be the information on my accounts receivable account at my new bank. and I would immediately get as much fucking money as I can without causing a cash flow crunch and get that into Bitcoin for retention. I would also consider buying physical silver and gold. I don't know. Like I said, you're asking, nobody's asking me. I need to make a choice and act now. So it even could be 50% Bitcoin and then 50% physical silver and gold. I don't know. I just don't know. But I have no hesitation in immediately getting something in Bitcoin just for retention of my net worth, my or physical assets or assets, instead of money sitting in a bank that I may not be able to get to ever again. So that's two things I would do. And even if everything freezes up, say, well, Tim, you still can't get your Bitcoin. No, but I have something in my possession now. So, and then you could go, well, then how, if you need that, how are you going to cash it back out? Because you need to convert it into dollars. And then, of course, then you got the bank involved again. And that would not be an option. Because I'm not doing that. What's the point? My goal is retention, to keep assets in the hands and property of the company, not a bank that can go into receivership or lock you out of your own account. Because you're cooked. You're cooked. But you don't have those funds. The bank does. With Bitcoin or even physical silver and gold, you still can't use it, but you have it. You get it? Those are the two biggest things I would do right away. Whether they're right, whether they're wrong, whether you agree or you disagree, I usually don't give flying fuck, because this is not going to get fixed and straightened out for the benefit of you. I'm going to tell you that right now. And personally, just yesterday, because I went to Walmart to use my Coinbase card, and I convert my money in my checking account to US digital coins, and Coinbase has put a temporary halt on that. I'm like, that's interesting. Why? But yesterday, after I got back from Walmart, the first thing I did is I emptied my checking account to the lowest minimum I need to pay my bills. And I mean the lowest, and all of it else in my savings account just was used to buy Bitcoin. Again, personally, no, this is what I'm doing. Don't do what I do. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. I've actually done that personally. But we're in make-believe land where I still run my company, and essentially it's the same thing in respect to retention. And that's what I would do. And I've done it personally. I did it yesterday. And then from that point forward, you just got to ride the storm out. But for me, if I was in that leadership responsibility position again, and experiencing 2008, that is what I would do. Is that the right thing or the wrong thing? Hell, I don't know. I don't know. But I would rather do it that way. And then if everything fails, well, at least I did everything I could. But if I'm just going to let these people do what they did in 2008 and just blame us peasants and lose half of our equity on paper from our assets, our houses, this and that, and everything, not to mention your jobs, and then tightening up on money when you need money. You know, it's like people are starving out there. And the government, let's just say the government caused this problem for people to starve. So it's really bad. So the government's response to that is, we need to close down the grocery stores and shut down the farms in the trucking industry. What? That's what they're doing. We need our capital to run our business, and you're making it impossible. I'm starving to death, and you just locked the fucking grocery store doors. What? Well, yeah, it's your fault that we fucked up the entire agricultural food chain supply. So therefore, we have to close all the grocery stores. Okay. Sure. But if you were a prepper and you kind of saw this coming and had some dry storable foods and this and that and everything else like I do, well, you know what? I kind of thought you were going to do this because that's what you do. And you always make it us peasants' fault. And we got to do the pain and suffering. Why somehow, some way you figure things out to cover your shit up and allegedly fix it when you all don't get affected by it, but we do. So that's my perspective and experience on this and opinion. They are not going to save you. It's all about retention right now. And then you got to ride the storm out, like I said. And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know if this is the beginning of the Great Reset and all this is intentional and just might continue to go down. And they're going to bring in their new currency and their new system and ESG credit rating. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but no, and nobody does. But there's two ways this ends. Is that way into a new system? Or they fix this system and eventually things will go back to quote unquote normal, whatever that means. But regardless of which way they go, you will have retention. And if your business fails because everything shut down like COVID, that's not on you. And doing it the way I would do it, I still have those assets on my books. And then if worst case scenario came in and went into bankruptcy, then, you know, I could pay my vendors off and that, but they're going to fail ultimately too, because they're shut down. So it's just going to be a transfer of wealth depending on the bankruptcy laws and who gets out alive and who don't and the timing of it. But again, see, I don't know how that's going to play out. But again, it's your job, it's my job to make sure our company is open for another day and have wealth, net worth, retention. We can't do anything about the banking system. It may go, you know what? Fuck all he is. I'm just going to go using Bitcoin. And I'm from here on out, I'm going to only accept Bitcoin. And it could go that route. And if it does, bring it on, Grandma. Let's go. You're ready because you got Bitcoin. And you have an exchange. But then they'll probably just try to shut that down through the Visa system. I don't know. I mean, there is no clear direction in how this is going to go. And there's a million ways where it can go. But it's always going to be fought if it doesn't go the way they want it to. That I can tell you 100%. But you don't know that. That is totally out of your control. But those are the two things I would do. And in my opinion, there might be some more. And of course, they would pop up. But again, this just happened on Friday. It's the weekend. Tomorrow's Monday. And you got to come up with some action plan to save your fucking ass and your company and the people that work for you and your family. And that's what I would do. And then there might be more things, but I can't do that until I really get into it and think about it. But something has to be done. And that's what I would do. Don't know if it makes any sense. I don't know if it's the right thing. I don't know if it's the wrong thing, but it's my ass. It's my company. And that's what I would do if I still had my business today. And I might be seeking out a buyer to buy my company. So maybe that's three things, but I'll be right back. All right. So that is too much coffee and tea here. I had to take a bathroom break. But I'm going to end the show, and I'm going to pop into the chat room, see if there's any comments. There were some people in there. That's what I would do. I'm not saying this is what you should do or anybody should do. I'm just saying, based on my experience and what I've been through, and if I still had my business and everything else, that's the first thing. That would be my action plan in the morning. I don't give a flying fuck what anybody says. And you're going to hear from the experts and the smartest people in the room. Because remember, they're not going to focus on why this happened. They're not going to focus on the problem. They're only going to focus on the symptoms and how to fix the symptoms, which is not, does not fix the problems. Okay. But I would have CNBC or Fox Business News in the background. And I also would be listening to Peter Schiff, Jim Rogers, Max Kaiser, Mark Faber, Mike Maloney, Robert Kiyosaki, Glenn Beck. I would be paying attention to those people. Not so much for advice, but guidance. And then make your own decision based on what these people are saying, not the people in mainstream media financial market, because they're all going to cover their own asses and somehow, some way, make it everybody else's problem. Because that's what they do and that's what they did. And they're going to do it again. But quite honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I don't want one business to fail. You do not want to go through that. You do not want to be me. You do not want to be 59 years old, living alone in an apartment without a pot to piss in. And I never, ever dreamt in a million years I would be interested in seeing what my Social Security benefits are going to be. But I quite actually just did that yesterday because I'm destroyed. I'm destroyed. Based on faith in listening to the experts to do this and do that. And quite honestly, a conspiracy is more than three people involved. And there was inside my company in ultimate betrayal. And here I sit. I don't want that to be you. And in the long run, if it is you, this is the time where you need to make a decision against everybody else's opinion, suggestions, and recommendations. I don't give a flying fuck who it is. Because you know why? Because you're the asshole. Or the bitch, sorry, woman. And I just mean that descriptive. I don't mean it offensively. You're the person that's going to go down with the ship. And you're going to have a mutiny or potential one on your hands, because that's what happened to me. But the irony of that is the ones that were causing the mutiny are the ones that got the spoils because of my marriage and that crap, whatever. Don't think it can't happen to you, because that's what I thought. And I had the faith, trust, and people that I was protecting and vowed to, and employees. The rats are going to run off the ship, and they might even go after your ship, regardless of who they are. Your wife, your husband, family, kids, right-hand man. I don't know. Is this thing fucking... Is this thing staticking again? Oh God, I hope not, because that would be even more pissed. Let's say.
Is this thing staticking again?
No, there must have been a connection on my headphone. Okay, good. But I can't tell you, oh, that's not going to happen to me. I said the same thing. Everything you're saying to yourself, it is not going to happen. Okay. All right. I really hope you're right. I wish I was right. I was wrong. Because in the end, it's your ass. You're the one going, you're the captain of the ship. All the rats are going to run off. Everybody's going to take off. When I was going through the meltdown in 08, the bank, and I am just going to keep my composure here. I should throw them under the bus. Okay. But the people that held the mortgage, when all this was going on, I heard people were asking their mortgage lenders for help and they were getting it. So I did that to mine. Mine told me this. Here's just one example. One example. They said, Mr. Parsons, we can't help you until you're late on your mortgage in 90 days. I go, okay. So I stopped paying it. The house went into pre-foreclosure. I called them and I go, okay, I did what you said. Now, can you help me? And they said, we can't help you. Swear to fucking God. See? So I listened to the experts, the people that supposedly were going to help, and you know what? They left me for dead. I will not make that mistake ever again, on top of a lot of other things. I have to make this extremely clear. This is what I would do. I'm not telling you what you should do. Okay. And I'm also saying what I would not do. And I'm not telling you what you should not do. But those are the things I did. I complied. I listened. And I got fucked fucking sideways, left for dead, destroyed from every angle. I have nothing. But if this was different and I still had my business, I probably wouldn't have learned as many lessons from betrayal and conspiracy from the inside and mutiny, but I definitely would have the experience from the 08 meltdown. And that is exactly what I would do. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. at the latest, I'd probably be in there at 5 or 6 trying to get my game plan ready. That's what I would do. I don't know if it would work, but all I know is that I would do everything possible within my power to make sure my company was open for another day. Being right or being wrong, time will tell. But if you're going to sit there and listen to these fucking assholes and, oh, just don't worry, everything will be fine, and this and that. Yeah, well, that means they're getting their game plan together to make sure that they're okay at the expense of you. That was what they did in 08. And I'm not the only one. Be very cautious. Use your gut. Use your instinct. I've given references, and there's going to be a million opinions tomorrow. But the ones that I gave, those are the ones I would listen to, and I still do. You are going to be in for the fight of your life, and chances are you're going to fight it alone. It's a bitch being a business owner and a leader. But sometimes you got to make unpopular decisions. And this is going to be one of them. I'm sure your accountant, your partner, the board, I don't fucking wonder. There's no, Tim, because I watch CNBC and this is what they're saying. And I have financial advisors. Like, that's fine. Go right ahead. Go ahead and listen to the people that cause the problems. Fucking see how that turns out for you. Because that's what I did. Nope. Not this time. But again, the bottom of my heart, this isn't revenge, retaliatory, anything of the kind. This is something that I do not want to happen to anybody else. And although, again, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial guy, I'm just a business owner, or used to be, that busted my ass and worked very hard, starting with nothing, going through a financial meltdown. And 15 years later, here it comes again. And I'm only sharing what I would do if I was still in business in order to survive and retain my assets. And that might not even be enough. Because if they shut everything down, you can't do jack shit anyway. That's, oh, well, the big banks ain't going to be affected by this. Oh, that's just fucking wonderful. But the whole system shut down. So what good does that do? Nothing. But tomorrow we'll tell the tale of the tape and the momentum and direction that this is going. And I would pay attention to that. But again, as much as I don't like the decisions these people have made, because it always costs us equity, money, our company, this and that, and everything else to fix it, I really hope, with the help of our elected servants and representatives, make the right decision to tell these financial people to protect the American people, because that's what they're there for. Not to save their buddies on Wall Street again. And the transfer of wealth from the peasants to the king. It's not supposed to be like that. But I cannot believe I'm going to say this again. I do have faith that they will do the right thing. Because if they don't, it's all going down. And again, that might be the intent with the words of the Great Reset and everybody else talking and Klaus Schwab and, you know, the United Nations and all this other kind of crap. You know, I mean, they really don't have the United States citizens in their best interest. It's all for their self-preservation and advancement at our cost. It's just my opinion. But be that as that may, it's we the people, and we tell you what to do, and you better fucking fix this so your buddies on Wall Street or your personal portfolio doesn't go to zero, because you know what? That's a fucking bitch. But you know what? You're the ones that let this happen. You have the power to let it happen and not let it happen, because we elected you and trusted you with that power. And in 2008, you didn't do the right thing. Now it's time to do the right thing. And God is watching, and it is Sunday, and I'm not going to make it a religious sermon, but God is watching. And you better do his will and the right thing, because if you do not, he will step in and make sure that justice will be served. That's all I'm going to tell you. Julie Green keeps bringing it up. So this is not just me. I'm just a messenger. This nation has not fallen from God yet, but I really, truly think most of its elected servants and elected representatives have. And you better change course really fucking quick, because you're going to take all of us down to save a selected few, including your greedy ass self. Do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. We the people. Because without us, you're nothing. And if you think a dictatorship or communism, socialism is going to work, then you need to read some fucking books now. This is a capitalistic society, and it's nothing further from the truth. But we'll see. It's time to make sure you survive. It's time to be selfish. It's time to be greedy. And it's time to protect your ass and your assets. Because if you don't, nobody will. And you will lose them. And I wish you the best of luck, and God bless you. And I'll say some prayers for everybody involved in this. Me, I'm just a spectator and a peasant. But I'm still going to make sure that what I do have, which is minuscule, and personal assets, that I'm going to make goddamn sure, sorry, Lord, that I retain it. And that's the end of that. All right, an hour and a half. What's going on? Huh. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. And then most of them dropped out, except Rorschach. Is that right? Rorschach? I don't know. I can barely see that. But anyway, that's enough. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. It's going to be an interesting day. It might be another Black Monday. The market can and most likely will drop at least 1,000 points tomorrow. Stabilize at close. I'm going to predict that. But then what happens from there is going to be very interesting because volatility is going to be crazy. And that's going to be an indicator of the instability by what the Dow's opening and closing, because people are going to be scared. And ironically, they want to sell their stocks so they can put money in the bank that's going to be inaccessible. So it's fucking weird, but that's what it is. So, all right, good luck. I'm going to go. I got to do some shit. It's Sunday. Have a great day. But I felt I had to share what I would do based on my experience. And I really, truly wish the best of luck to all of you. You got one hell of a job and responsibility. So I'm going to go share the show, and that's it. Thanks for listening to me. You've been listening to the original Red Pill Show.